Time for the King's kids to be dismissed. Pray for them as they go, and pray for those that work with them. Always exciting. Let's see if we can start at the beginning. There we go. There they go. We'll dismiss them after they're gone. There goes the future of the church. Amen. We need hundreds more like that, don't we? They won't fit here, but we can fix things. I believe God is about to do some things among us, and we want to see what God has to do as we go forward. Today I want to talk to you from the book of Hebrews. We're in a study of Hebrews. We're talking about living in the new covenant. I don't know if you understand what the new covenant is. Read through the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 12 now, so you'll have to catch up if you haven't been following along. And today I want to talk about God trains his children. He trains his children. And this is what the passage is talking about. And not everybody is a child of God in the sense that this passage is talking about. A child of God is someone who has surrendered his or her life to Christ and said, yes, I want Jesus to be in control of my life and in control of my life for eternity. And that's what that's all about. When you surrender your life to Christ, he becomes Lord, boss, owner, ruler of your life. And it's a beautiful and wonderful life it is. You were made by him. He created you, and you were made for him. He wants to spend eternity with you. And that's what we're doing every time we turn around, trying to see how we can help people come to know Christ. Well, there are a lot of things in this passage that I want us to look at, so let's get started. First, consider Jesus. Now, understand the background. I didn't tell you the background. The picture always looks clearer when you have a background, so I'm going to give you the background. The people that are being written to here are Jewish people who are under persecution. These are Jewish people who have surrendered their lives to Christ, and there are three different kinds of people written to in this letter you know about. Those who are Jewish people who have surrendered their lives to Christ, who is the Messiah, and they're convinced he's the Messiah. That's why they surrendered their lives to him. Then there are Jewish people who've said, I believe that he's the Messiah, but they haven't yet made that commitment to Christ and surrendered to him as Lord. And so they're thinking, I believe it up here, but I don't believe it here yet. And they're like that. And there are those that are written to that say, I don't think he's the Messiah at all, and you haven't convinced me. When you read through the book of Hebrews, if you're not convinced, you're slow. Very, very slow. I mean, it's a letter that you can read in one sitting. It'll take you a while, but you can read it. Imagine what we're doing, taking pieces of it at a time, week by week, and that takes longer, but I think it's kind of necessary. So now he's pick up these persecuted people. They are being persecuted for going to Christ, which is where you ought to go. But there are Jewish people and other people in the world who would say, no, he is not the Christ. And you're actually idolaters if you worship Jesus, and they would believe this. So they pick up in verse 3 here. For consider him, that is Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When you're having difficulty in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ because other people are ridiculing you, other people look down on you, other people think you're strange, and they think, well, you know, you're just one of those people that are just real religious, kind of crazy people. When they do that to you, just consider Jesus, what they did to him. And consider that what he went through for you and what you will go through for him. Even till death. Would you give your life for Christ? Would you die? If it came down to it, say, well, now, either you deny Christ or you'll be put to death. What would you decide? Well, have you already made your decision? So, well, Pastor, I don't know what I would decide. I want you to stop it. Stop trying to figure out what you would do. You don't know what you'll do until you know what you're going to do right now. Have you surrendered to your life to Christ right now? Yes, well, I have. Well, then it's settled. You will know what to do then. Some people try to get ahead of God. So, well, people, you know, said they were going to cut my head off if I didn't deny Christ. I don't know what I would do. I know what you'd do. You'd stand up and say, I love Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. Cut my head off. So I don't know if I'd do that or not. You wait till you get there and we'll talk. for a little bit anyway. We worry about things that never happen, and we worry about things as if they're going to happen, and we worry too much, and some of you are worried too much about this election. Now, I'm concerned. I mean, who's not concerned? I was concerned 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I've been concerned for a long time. This problem didn't just hit us. We are the problem. Capital W, we are the problem. And so God wants to take us from where we are to where we need to be. And so I can't get the world to cooperate. They just won't listen to me. But you're here. So don't get up. Consider Jesus, what he went through, and then consider your resistance. Now, he's talking to these Jewish people who've surrendered their lives to Christ, and they're being persecuted. And also, you note, as we, if you read through this letter, there are some who have identified with the believers. They're not believers either, but they have identified with them, saying, you know, I'm not a believer in Christ, but those are the ones who make the most sense. Do you know you have a lot of those in our country? They're not believers in Christ, but they think we're the ones that have sense, common sense. They're the ones that make sense in the world, and they'll join up with us. Well, they're being persecuted in this letter. Some of those are being persecuted for identifying with those who are followers of Christ. Isn't that interesting? But he says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. See, sin is the problem. People are sinners, and they're separated from God, and that's why they act like they do, and that's why they hate God like they do. And, you know, people love religion a lot of times, but hate God. They love religious things, but they hate God. When I say they hate God, that's a strong term, but when I say hate, that means they don't want God to be in charge of their lives. Just push God away. That's what I mean when I say hate God. And there are a lot of God haters out there. As a matter of fact, the majority of them, you'll see, don't go saying it out loud, but you can point and say, there's one now. They're there because they don't want God to be in charge of their lives. They want him to be in charge of their own lives. And you're not made for that. That's why it's all messed up when you try it. But he says here, you're not, basically he's saying to him, you're not dead, are you? You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. That is, you're not dead, and you're striving against sin. You're not dead, right? Cheer up. There's some things you need to know about what God is doing in your life. Now, I don't know what stage of trouble you're in your life, what problems you're having. You feel like the world is against you. Well, it should be. If you're for Christ, it would be against you, right? If you're cooperating with the world and getting along fine with the world, you're the problem. You've got a lot of problems you may not even know about. So, it's one thing to be at peace with every man as much as in you is, but there's another thing to go along with the world in their hate against Christ. I use that word strongly because I want you to understand it gets your attention. When I say they hate God, you say, well, I don't know if they hate God. They seem to love. I've had people that obviously don't know Jesus say they love God. But what does it mean to love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, they're not doing that. Well, guess what? They don't love God. That's true for everybody. So now this is the part I wanted to get to. This is the part where we'll camp out and have a lot of fun. It might be sarcasm. It might not. It could be fun. It may not be. But I'm going to get a kick out of it anyway, because as I was studying this, I said, I need this right here. Consider God's discipline in your life. This word in this passage that talks about discipline, he says, you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he's received. That's a quote from the Proverbs, but I want you to understand what it's talking about. This word discipline, so, you know, if you discipline your children, you know, God doesn't punish his children. Not in the sense that you're thinking sometimes he punishes. No, he disciplines his children. Now, it looks like the same thing to the child. It's just as painful to the child. I'm talking about, this is an era in which they would use a rod sometimes on a child. Now, I'm not talking about abuse and killing people. I'm talking about getting the kids straight, because kids tend to wander off. You know what I mean? You ever notice that? You need some help understanding that. We'll put you in with the children next time they leave, and you just find out. Well, you know what they're like, and you're not any different in a lot of ways when you think about it. This word is a word that is a Greek word from which we get the word pediatrics. Paideia is the word. It has the idea of stepping. You take steps. You ever seen a little, depends on what age they start walking. There's, you know, they don't automatically start at certain ages, but you see a kid, he's just starting to walk, and you think, he's going to hit that, he's going to hit that, he's going to fall, and they're just learning to walk, and you think it's cute, and it's wonderful, and it's celebrative, and that's great. Well, that's what God is doing to you. He is teaching you, he's training you how to walk. He's training you how to walk spiritually. He's training you in how to respond and how to react and what to do, what not to do. And it's like they're guardrails. Well, at least this is the way my mind works, so bear with me. How many have ever been bowling? Yes, it's okay to raise your hand. It's not an illegal activity. You know. Bowling. Now, you know, when you're starting out, when you're starting to learn how to bowl, when you're just yay high, they give you the bumpers in the where the, where instead of having a gutter ball, they get a bumper bowling. I like that. But they won't let me do it. I'm a little too old for that. But the bumper bowling, and even sometimes they have a rack of, I don't know what you call that rack, where you put the ball in and just roll down the rack. And that's pretty cool. You're just learning. The ball's kind of heavy. They give you a lighter one. And you learn how to roll. And you're just learning. And it's so wonderful to watch that. The kids are so fun and all of that. That's what God's doing in your life. Sometimes as you start out in your walk with Christ, he puts the bumpers there so that you don't go into the gutter ball. He got that. He does that in your life. And so God's doing that. He puts up those things to help you out. And then he removes those as you grow and mature and you learn better how to do things. And so some of you have got the bumpers in your life. You know, first come to Christ, you know, we ruin it for new believers. Someone surrenders his or her life to Christ, and they're so excited. Everything's so wonderful. And we go, just cheer up. It's going to get worse. And they come to church, and everybody, you know, you expect everybody to be as excited. I remember when this happened to me, I thought, you know, this is great. I now know that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm forgiven. God loves me. He accepts me. I don't even know why he pays attention to me. And here I am, and I go to church, and they're going, and they say, oh yeah, you're one of those new believers. That's exciting. You know? Yeah. And I think, I thought everybody would be as excited as I was, because you want to ask people, grab them by the shoulders and say, did you receive Christ too? Did it happen to you? Are you excited? And they don't seem to be. So, well, Pastor, I know what you mean, but we are excited deep down in there. We know. We're jumping up and down in there. Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. But the thing is, you got to grow up. You got to grow. And growing up means that you learn to share your toys. You learn to let other people go first. You learn things like that. Those are things we teach children, right? We need to learn that in church, don't we? We need to learn to think of others first. We don't always do that. I'm not going to go some places I was thinking, but I'll say this whole thing of discipline, of teaching us, is rooted in love. God loves you. That's why he put the boundaries there. So, well, I want to go past that boundary. Well, that boundary is there to keep you from going off where you're going to be hurt. God doesn't want you hurt, so he's going to keep you in the boundary. So, I want to run my own life. I want to do my own thing. And sometimes the Bible teaches us, sometimes God will just say, okay, have at it. Run your own life. And then you run it in the ground and you shake your fist at God. God, what are you doing? What did you do? Wait a minute. You wanted to run your own life. Have at it. And now you're running and ruining is kind of, just change a few letters there, huh? You're ruining your own life because you want to go your own way, because you don't have sense enough to know why the boundaries are there. Well, I'm here to help you with the boundaries. And it's very cool how God's word works and how he disciplines and trains us up. He's training us. He's shown us how to live. He's shown us why we live that way. We live for now, and that's a problem. You've got to live for eternity. We do everything for now. So we live in the now. But I'm not talking about today. You ought to live day by day. You only have today. You don't have tomorrow. But how you live today ought to reflect you're thinking in eternity. Now you're thinking about, how can I get more stuff, and how can I be happier, and how can I be more of what I want to be? How can, you know, it's a scary thing. I hope you never do this. If you've done it already, tell your children you're sorry. You grab your child and said, you can grow up to be anything you want to be. And that's a lie. There's not one child in this room or in any room anywhere that can grow up to be anything that child wants to be. Are you kidding me? It's just not possible. Yeah, kids, you know, you laugh. Your kids say, I want to be, you know, an NFL football player. You do? Oh, yes, you just try. You can't be anything you want to be, but you can be anything God wants you to be. Anything God wants you to be, you're in. You're in. As a matter of fact, nobody can stop you. David might not have looked like a king, but he became one. You know, be anything God wants you to be. Tell your children that. And then they'll be looking to God for, what does God want me to be? Because I can be that. I wonder what he would want me to be. It's possible that God may want you to be an NFL football player. But if you look like this, you don't even have to pray about it. If they did hire me and did put me on the field, it would be suicide. So I'm not going to do that. Consider this. Consider his discipline. It is for endurance. It is by means of endurance, by means of discipline that you endure. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Disciplining children, teaching them as they grow is a beautiful process. It's painful, it's difficult, it's not easy, but it's worth it. And every time you train your children in the way they should go, and every time you help them along to, I'm going to show you why we do what we do, when you do it, everybody around you appreciates what you've done. When you give your children their way all the time, let them do whatever they want to do, everybody around you thinks you're part of the problem. Now you look what you've done. Now that your children are my neighbors, and we're having a hard time with my neighbors because they think they get their way all the time in the neighborhood, and now I don't want to work with them either. Little brats, just what we have, just little brats. I'm not finished with this passage. I'm headed to what is God trying to do in our lives? What is he training us to be? Have you ever thought about that? I don't think. If you thought about it, if you wrote it down and put it in a sealed envelope and gave it to me and I opened it up at the end of the sermon and see if you were right, you might not get it. Because it's not what we think a lot of times. He says, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us and we respected them, and shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Our earthly fathers disciplined us, they taught us, they trained us, they showed us, they instructed us, and now God is doing that. Shouldn't we? If God is not doing it, let's put it this way. If in your life God is not training you, there's no evidence that God is training you in your life, then you're not his child. You sometimes, I'm just projecting onto you what I think about, you know, generally what people are like. Don't be offended by me, unless you should be. We want God to do things in our lives, and we want to, you know, God to let us have our way, and we ask God to bless our way. But when he's disciplining us, he won't let you get by with things. I'll give you a for instance. Suppose that you are angry with me right at this moment. You don't like me at all. Just pretend. I hope we're pretending. You just don't like me at all, and you're just angry with me. And you go home tonight and try to go to sleep, and God won't leave you alone because you feel guilty for being angry. And he wants you to forgive me, but you won't do it. What's that all about? How's that work? You're one of his. They say, well, but you don't know what Pastor Jeff did. He doesn't need to be forgiven. Oh, hold on. God is doing something in you, and he's also doing something in me. He works both ends. He works in the middle. He works in everybody. I want you to understand God is about the business of doing something, and you need to be a person that says to be subject to the Father. That is, let God work in you. as you live. It's for our good, that for they disciplined us for a short time, our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good. Everything God does in your life, what he stops you from doing, what he pushes you to do, what he keeps you from doing, what he, your dream in your whole life is shattered, and God does that for good. He said, well, how can it be my shattered dreams be for good? Your dreams are not what God is trying to do in your life. And your dreams may have gotten in the way of what God wants to do in your life. You maybe didn't know that. He says, it's for our good so that we may share his holiness. Open the sealed envelope. Did you put holiness? Would you have put holiness? That's what God's doing in our lives. No, you might have, God wants to prosper me, make me wealthy, want to make me famous, want to make me happy. Did you put happy in there? What about holiness? So, Pastor, you said holiness. I honestly don't even know what that means. No. Isn't that sad? This is church. We ought to know what holiness means, right? What does it mean? God wants you to be holy. God is holy, and he wants us to be holy like him. And that's what he's doing, that you may share in his holiness. Now, we'll get more specific on that in a minute. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. God wants you to be right, righteous in your thoughts and in your actions. He wants you to be right according to his word. According to what he has revealed to you is right and against what is wrong. That's what it means to be holy, to be separate, to be different, to be right. It starts when you're made right with God. The word is justified. You're justified by God by Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, and you receive him as Lord of your life, and he becomes your Savior, and you are now made right with God. You're right with God, but now you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit to live right. Now the right things in your life can come out, and what are those things that are right that can come out? What love and joy and peace and long-sufferingness, long-suffering, being long-suffering, gentle and kind, self-control comes out. You know what leaves your life? When you're made right with God, when you're right with God, when you're walking in righteousness, immorality leaves, adultery leaves, homosexuality leaves. All of these things leave because as you look, those are the deeds of the flesh, and pride leaves, and unforgiveness leaves, bitterness leaves. You see, now we're getting more an understanding of what holiness is. Holiness is living a right life before God because you're empowered by his Spirit to do so. And he's training you as a child that's learning how to walk. Oh, you'll fall down sometimes, you'll stumble sometimes, and he picks you right back up. The falling down and the picking up and the correcting, and here, let me put these shoes on you, so that you can learn how to walk in these shoes. What are these shoes I want you to wear? These are called the shoes of witnessing. The shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes that say, I'm putting these shoes on you so that you can walk into this world and tell other people about Christ. The whole reason I left you here when I saved you on this earth is so that you can be a light to shine so that other people can see Jesus and know Jesus. That's why you're here. And the most right thing you can do is to help other people become right with God. You say, well, I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, I want it to happen to them, but I don't have the gift of that. I didn't mention that it's not just a thing. It's a thing you do. It's not a separate gift somebody gets and somebody else doesn't. When you come to know Christ, you're the person. You're the ambassador for Christ on the earth. How you act, what you say, what you do affects everybody around you. Sometimes you think, well, I can live my life my way and it only affects me. And that's where you're wrong. You're affecting a lot of other people. You're leading other people the wrong way or the right way in your life. And God is training you to lead people the right way. Did you know God was doing that in your life? I'm telling you, It's a fascinating world we live in. And it's not an easy world we live in. So that we can share in his holiness, and also there at the end, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's a fascinating phrase. Discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Every time God disciplines us, he instructs us, he trains us, he corrects us. I'm going to show you in a minute before we get out of here how this works. It's very practical. You may not have seen it before. It's been standing right in front of you, especially if you've been in church for a while. It's just been there the whole time, and I want to just put it together for you. But anyways, what the result is, peaceful fruit of righteousness. Peaceful fruit. And we want to be peaceful. We want to have peace. If you could have unquestioned peace in your life right now, what would you give for it? There are a lot of people that don't have peace. If they could know, not just pretending, real peace. As people stand out in our parking lot on Tuesday waiting to vote, if we could talk to each one of those people waiting to vote and say, what would you give if you could just have real, genuine peace? I mean, settled peace in your heart and your life in such a way that can't be touched by any circumstance. What would you give for that? Some people will say, I'd give my life for that. If I could have that, I would just give my life. Well, then why don't you? The way you have peace with God is you give your life to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what the world does, and it doesn't matter what the world thinks, and it doesn't matter who wins an election. It doesn't matter. Oh, you just have peace. People in the world will think you're crazy, but you're the one that has sense. I trust in Jesus. And there's not a hiccup in heaven. Everything's great. Jesus taught us to pray that things would be on earth like they are in heaven. How are they in heaven? Fine, thank you. It's not a problem. Everything's great. I wish everything on earth could be like everything. Well, pray that. Jesus said to pray that. Pray that. What's going to happen when Jesus answers that prayer? Well, he gives us more than a hint. He gives us the instructions on what's going to happen when he returns. You need to be ready for his return. You need to be ready for your going, not just his coming. You may go before he comes again. You need to be ready for that. Are you ready for that? Do you have peace? He is instructing us and training us and doing things in our lives that we think, that's kind of makes me sad. I just can't seem to get things going. I can't seem to succeed at anything. I'm just losing left and right. And you're worried about that, and you're upset about that, and why? The Bible teaches us you can never lose when you trust God. It doesn't mean you're going to get all the things you want, but you will get the things you need, holiness and righteousness, and the fruit of that is peace. Peace. Well, I never did meet my goals and become the person I thought I'd be. I thought the career I was going to have would have been a lot more successful. I thought it was going to be all these things. So what? You thought that was the big thing? People don't really respect me much because I'm not, big somebody. You're not? But the moment that you surrendered your life to Christ, all of heaven rejoiced. You were a big deal. You know why you were a big deal? Because God himself rejoiced in the presence of his holy angels when you repented and turned to Christ. You not only were noticed, you were celebrated. Well, the world didn't see that, and I didn't get any fame, and nobody likes me on Facebook. I don't, that's for the older people, I know. I don't know what the other things are. What? Now people, their best friend is a chat bot. Someone that doesn't even exist that you can talk to because you don't have any friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. And when Jesus is your best friend, you don't need a chat box. You don't need somebody to pretend to like you. He loves you more than you could ever know. And I want you to understand something else. The people in the room who genuinely know Jesus love you too. You ought to find friends in the house of God, with the people of God. You ought to walk with God. We go through life together. Now, we may not get along as far as hobbies. You may like doing things I don't like to do. I don't want to do those things with you. Actually, I talked about bowling. If you want to go bowling with me, you don't want me on your team. We may not like the same things, but we love the same Savior, and we care about one another. And have you noticed you can't really know but so many people around you? You know, I have this terrible fear, and it's going to happen. Oh, what's their names? Oh, I can't remember this person's name. What are you going to do? There are a lot of you. There's only one of me. I'm thinking, I want to know everybody's name, what they're all about. I want to know all of that. But sometimes it just, whoops. That's a terrible thing. You can only know so many people. But the people you do know, you can be Christ in front of them, and you can help them, and you can pray for them, and you can love them, and God will use you that way. I'm going to show you how God's Word works. Do you know the best way that you can be trained by God, and it is the way that you're trained by God, even if you don't know it? You are trained. God has a pattern laid out on how to train you to be what He wants you to be holy and right in your actions and your thoughts. He has a way all planned out, and He told us what it was. And it's in the Bible. Shocker. And it is the Bible. What? Pastor, I just want to come every week and you just tell me something and I'll get it and I'll go home and I just want to come. You lazy rascal. No wonder you're stumbling all over the place. This is it. All Scripture is inspired by God. Now, don't you ever forget that. The Bible is inspired by God. Somebody tells you different, you look at them and say, there's a liar right there. God breathed is the Word. Jesus said so. I'm with Him. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. That means it's good to do these things that's listed. For teaching. You want to learn things about how God works and how people are and how you are and how things are, facts about things. You want to know the truth? The Bible. The Bible will tell you the truth. It's good for teaching. It's good for reproof. That is, it will show you when you're wrong. Some people don't read the Bible because they know they want to be told they're wrong. Well, you're wrong. You may as well read it. Find out where you're wrong. Find out when you're wrong. Find out how to, well, after God shows you this is the way it is, and He shows you this is where you've strayed away from it, then He does this. It's good for correction. So you're headed down a path. This is the path God says to go down. Let's just say it's in your relationship with somebody. You have a relationship with somebody? Is it biblical? Are you living with your boyfriend, living with your girlfriend? That's not biblical. You're supposed to. The things that you're involved in are supposed to be within the bounds of marriage. And the Bible says that, but you say, well, that's not, we're out, that's outdated. Hell is full of that kind of thinking. I want you to know, if you want peace, you better get right with God. See, this relationship is supposed to be within marriage, and then now it's not. So God says, that's wrong. I've shown you, I've reproved. Now you're outside of where you need to be. Now hold on. Let's correct that. Let's get you here where you need to be. Surrender your life to Christ and get married. That's just one example. And then He trains us how to stay that way, how to stay married. This is just one example of all the things in your life that the Bible does. Did you know that the Bible was put there for that reason? To teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, to train you, to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, to train you. Training in righteousness, as a matter of fact, that phraseology is what this whole thing was about in Hebrews. Discipline, the training in righteousness. The Bible goes together. Every piece, every part goes together. It is not an antiquated book full of dust. It is not written a long time by a bunch of old men a long time ago. No, is the Word of God. The Word of God that can read your soul. He knows what you need. And all you need is Him. And if you haven't found that out, you're in a bad spot. But you can get out of that spot. See, it's already happening. He's teaching you. that you need to be righteous in your thinking and in your actions in your life, because that is will be the healthiest thing for you. It will lead you to peace with Him and peace in your soul. That's what you need. He teaches you that. Well, you've just been reproved because you're not there. He showed you where you're wrong. You're not there. Why aren't you there? Why haven't you received Christ into your life? Why aren't you obeying Christ in your life? Well, you need to, and He corrects you, and He shows you how to get from where you are to where you need to be. It's called repentance. Change your way of thinking and faith. Trust in Christ. And when you do, you have that peace. And then He trains you in righteousness. You'll be reading along a chapter a day in the Bible, and you say, there's something in there I need to apply that to my life. I didn't know that I had a problem there. Now I've discovered I have a problem. And He corrects you, and He trains you, and He shows you. Before you know, you're walking. There you are, cutest toddler in the world, just walking all over the place. And before you know it, you're not only walking, you're able to run. And then you're able to train somebody else and help somebody else on how to walk and run. And they're watching you, and they're learning from you. What are people learning from you when they see your life? And why does He do all that? And how does He do all that? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible is about. And that's an example, just one example of how God does things when He trains His children. He trains His children, and people, I'll tell you, there's so much language going around today that I don't understand. We go to church. Do we? Do we go to church? Is this the church? Well, we gather together, but I thought we are the church. Every believer in Christ is the church, if we have a building or not. I pastored a church that didn't have a building. We had to move from one building to another till we bought a piece of property and renovated a warehouse and all that. Was that a church? No, those are buildings. We're the church. And what are we doing? What are we thinking about? Us. We're thinking about us all the time. I'm guilty of it. Point your finger at me. Did you enjoy church today? Sometimes I want to say, I hope not. If you enjoyed it, I'm doing something wrong. You can't enjoy it fully. It's every Sunday you got to have a part that you don't enjoy. The part that says, see, you're wrong right there. It's going to happen all the time. It should. That's what God's Word does. But now I meant, did you enjoy being here? Did you like being here? Sometimes you may not like being here, but being here is not what it's all about. It's being the church here and everywhere you go. And that means, why did God put us here to begin with? Why am I here? That's going to have to be another sermon, but I'll give you a phrase or two about it. God put us here to win people to Jesus Christ and teach them how to walk with Christ. That's what He put us here for. And we're not doing it. We're not doing it. So, well, Pastor, what are you saying? I think I was clear. I didn't stutter. We're not doing it. Now, I'm not getting on your case because I'm part of the case. But I'm going to tell you this. We got to do it. We've got to do it. You and I need to come together and say, how are we going to reach the people out there with the gospel? And whatever that takes, we're going to work together to make that happen. Amen? There'll be more people than can fit in this room if we do it right. So we'll have to go to another service and then fill that room up. Then we'll have to start another church somewhere else. Something's got to happen, right? So, well, Pastor, you're thinking about all those other people. I know. We've been thinking about us too long. We got to start thinking about people, other people, because that's what God does. He matures us to where we grow past ourselves, and we share our toys, and we put other people first, right? Amen. I want to say, as you stand together, I want to lead us in prayer. And as we pray together today, meet with Pastor Scott and talking about closing services here at Five Forks. I haven't really hit where I need to be in closing the service. And I want to help you do what you need to do in your spiritual lives. This is the part of the service where you make decisions. Now, those decisions are made in your heart and your mind where you are. And inviting people to come forward in the service is a little strange to a lot of people, even if you've been at a church all your life doing that. And so I'm in an awkward spot trying to figure out, do you need to do that or not? And I don't know, but I do know this. You got to make a decision between you and God, however you do that. If you come to Christ yet, as we prayed just now, surrender your life to Christ. And if you come to Christ, I'd like to know about that. We're going to close every service every Sunday with a good song before we leave. And that's a beautiful way to go about it. And I'm going to be standing right up here. And if you need to come down and pray with me, or you need to come down here and just kneel and pray, or if you need to make a commitment of some sort, I'm always going to be down here. I'm not going to pressure you to come forward. I'm just inviting you to come if that's what you need to do. So I invite you to come as God would lead you as we pray together just now. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us today. Many times, Lord, we come before you with our complaints and our concerns. But today, Lord, we come before you. The most important thing is eternity. And I pray if there anyone is here today who has never surrendered his or her life to Christ, that today would be the day that they would just pray like this. And if that's you today, would you just talk to Jesus and tell him, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead that I could be made right with God. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender my whole life to you. Come into my life and take over, I pray. And if that's your prayer today, and you've surrendered your life to Christ, then you've become a child of God. And God will train you as his child. And God will do in your life what needs to be done. I'd like to know about your commitment to Christ. And Lord, for the rest of us, we pray that you'd help us. Help us to learn and grow and walk with you in holiness and righteousness, that we might have peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.